You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord, not at some times, but I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth throughout all generations. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to have church this morning. Lean over to your neighbor, say, neighbor, I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. First, giving honor to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. To the shepherd of this house, may your pastor, Pastor Twyman, amen. To his lovely wife, Sister Twyman, bless you. Amen. To all the preachers and deacons and trustees and officers of the church, I greet you in the name of a risen Savior to let you know that he yet lives. And say he lives in us. And to my lovely wife is here. Hey, baby, please wave your hand so everybody know who you are. Amen. Ushers, now y'all watching now. Make sure nobody talk to her. I got to... Amen. While I'm here preaching, amen. 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 I won't be before you long. I solicit your prayers. There's a word from the Lord found in the book of Luke. Gospel recorded by Luke, the 6th chapter. I'm going to be reading at the 6th verse. Luke, the 6th chapter, began reading at the 6th verse. When you get there, say, whoop, there it is. And it came to pass also that on another Sabbath that he entered the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Then Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do unto Jesus. And I want to talk from a subject this morning, winning with a bad hand. Amen. Winning with a bad hand. I hope this morning that you're not too saved and too sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, but my favorite card game is spades. Yeah. Are there any spades players in the house this morning? Yeah. I have been playing
the game of spades since I was 12 years old. My mother and father would take me and my twin brother on the family reunions. And we went all across the country. We went to Chicago, St. Louis, Denver, and Phoenix. But the one thing that we could count on, no matter the location, was that the older cousins would play a game called Bid Whist. And the younger cousins would play a game called Spades. And I'm sure many of you don't know how to play Spades, so let me explain it. Because I found out that Spades was a game where you can think and also observe. In Spades, sometimes you are dealt a good hand. But oftentimes, my brothers and my sisters, we are dealt a bad hand. You could gain extra knowledge if you have been playing Spades by looking at the trump suit. The trump suit is the spade. You have to watch and observe because you have to play the first card that was in that suit. And you didn't want to renege because you could lose three books. Not only in Spades was a game for you to think, but it also was a game for you to observe. You have to observe what your partner is doing. You don't want to overthrow your partner in the game called Spades. And if you had a bad hand, you would bid low. If you had a good hand, you would bid high. However, one thing is for certain. It doesn't matter if you have a bad hand or a good hand. You could win or lose upon how the game is being played. And my brothers and my sisters, life has a way of dealing us all bad hands. It doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old, if you're light-skinned or brown-skinned, if you think that you're all that in a bag of chips, we all have been dealt a bad hand. I mean, every time you try to take three steps forward and get pushed five steps back, that's a bad hand. When you're trying to take off on your business, but you can't not make any headway, that's a bad hand. Yeah, when you're trying to make $50 stretch like it's $200, I come to tell you, that's a bad hand. Yeah, life has dealt you what I like to call the Marvin Gaye and throw both of your hands. Yeah, but I come to tell you, sometimes life has felt like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Yeah, you have more bills than money. When sickness comes unexpected, when your job is getting on your nerves, I come to tell you, life has a way of dealing us all bad hands. Yeah, sickness is a bad hand. Divorce is a bad hand. Poverty is a bad hand. You can't pay your bills is a bad hand. Unemployment is a bad hand. Depression is a bad hand. Yeah, don't have enough strength to pay your own child support. That's a bad hand. But although life has dealt you a bad hand, it is far from over. Yeah, it is not over until God says it's over. Yeah, your job may be in disarray, but it's not over. Your marriage may be in chaos, but it's not over. Because late in the midnight hour, God is going to turn some things around. Yeah, I come to tell you, he can turn it around in your favor. Yeah, I wish I had a few witnesses this morning. They can testify that he can turn it around in your favor. Yeah, you're not too cute. You know the Lord will make a way somehow. Yeah, I come to tell you, you couldn't see yourself out of it, but you know that God was able to bring you out. Yeah, because in spite of what you're going through, I come to let you know that you are more than a conqueror. Yeah, that's why your test has become your testimony. Yeah, because it had not been for the Lord who was on your side. You were looking at your problem, but now you on top of it. Yeah, your stumbling blocks had just become your stepping stones. And I ought to have a few witnesses in this house this morning that know that Jesus is able to fix your problem. I mean, that problem that you had, that you couldn't seem to solve. You prayed and prayed and couldn't get deeper and involved, but you turned it over to the Lord and watch him work it out. Yeah, and I stopped by here with some good news to let you know that God is able to restore anything that's been broken in your life. And somebody in here knows today that God is able to be a restorer. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in your situation, Jesus can restore you. Yeah, in this text, we are introduced to three crowds. We are introduced to a concerned crowd. We are introduced to a crippled crowd. And we are introduced to a critic crowd. Yeah, the concerned crowd. The concerned crowd was not worried about what Deacon was praying on that Sunday. Yeah, the concerned crowd was not worried about who was the choir was going to sing their favorite song. Yeah, the concerned crowd was not worried about if the usher greeted them at the door. They just came to hear a word from God. That's the concerned crowd. But also, there is a crippled crowd. Yeah, there's a man that has a withered hand. Yeah, I come to tell you today, if you're broken, you are part of the crippled crowd. If you have a heavy heart, if your kids are getting on your nerves, if you got bad news from the doctor, I come to tell you, you're part of the crippled crowd. There is concerned crowd. There is a crippled crowd. But I know none of you are like this. There is a critic crowd. In the text, the critic crowd is the scribes and the physician. They were trying to bring accusation against Jesus. Yeah, they were not concerned about other people. They were just concerned to try to trip up Jesus. Yeah, and out in the crowd, while Jesus is teaching, there is a unique individual. There is a man that has a withered hand. His hand is not withered because of his mom's sin. His hand is not withered because of his dad's sin. His hand is withered because either he got injured in an accident or it happened because of some certain illness. The text says that his hand was withered. It was shriveled up. He could no longer function. It was recorded in all three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That I thought at least one of them had enough sense to name his name. But the good news this morning is that even though his name was not written, we can put our name right where this withered man's hand is. Luke, the great physician, lets us know which hand was withered. He says it was the right hand. The right hand was symbolic of strength and power. Most of us, we write with our right hand. We do most of the things that I find difficult with our right hand. But how can we operate in this dysfunctionality? How can we win with a bad hand? How can we win when all of the odds are stacked up against us? Well, the first thing I saw in the text is that you must be at the right place. And I come to let someone here know today, you are at the right place at the right time. Come to tell you today, if your life is broken, you made it to the right place. Yeah, if you cannot fix your problem, you feel as though you tried every solution humanly possible, I come to tell you, you made it to the right place. Yeah, you came to worship. And when the saints go to worship, that's when healing must go forth. When the saints go to worship, that's when deliverance happens. When the saints go to worship, that's when healing must go forth. That even though he has a deficiency, he finds himself in worship. What a great place to be when you're crippled. That is in worship. The crippled man is in worship, and watch this. He's in worship on the Sabbath day. Yeah, yeah. The Sabbath day was made for man. We have a tendency to make rules when it comes to church. And don't get me wrong, I do believe in order. But some folk would rather believe in bylaws rather than the word of God. I mean, why not the crackhead cannot come into the church? Because the crack house has given up on him. The drunkard tried to come to the church. He tried the liquor store, but he ran out of money. Yeah, the owner kicked him out. Why can't he come to worship? The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. Yeah, I come to tell you, Jesus can take over his life. What a wonderful change has come over my life ever since Jesus came into my heart. And if he can do it for me, I can tell you, he can do it for you. He can do it for anybody. The problem is the crippled man was not supposed to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Under Deuteronomy law, if none had a malfunction, could enter into the synagogue. So the question that we pose this morning, why is he there? The reason that he's there is because he hid his hand. If we be honest, the reason why we are here is because God didn't expose some of the stuff that we used to do. I mean, when I go to Little Caesars Arena to watch the Pistons play, I have to take off my jewelry. I have to take off my watch. I have to take off my belt, because if I walk through the metal detector would expose that I have some metal on. And I just thank God that when I walked into the sanctuary this morning, that God did not expose me. And you ought to be glad that we serve a God that has some grace and has some mercy. Grace, when he gives us what we do not deserve. And mercy, when he does not give us what we do deserve. Yeah, the Son of Man went to the house of God on the day of God to worship with the people of God. Yeah, that in spite of his condition, he made it to the house of God. He had a dysfunction, but he made it. Yeah, yeah. And some of us, we might need a little help this morning, but thank God that we made it to see another Sunday. But how many of us miss our blessings? Because we miss coming to church. Because I come to tell you, not everybody that comes to church comes for worship. Yeah, yeah. Some people come to see what Miss Jones is wearing or what the latest on the mother's board. But I come to tell you, you ought to come expecting something from God. Then, in spite of his condition, he comes to church. It doesn't matter how rough life has been for him. He found his way to the church. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not only must we be at the right place, but also we must be with the right person. I come to tell you today that the scribes and the Pharisees are not the right people. Yeah, yeah, they came to inspect and not participate. Somehow the man with the withered hand had attracted Jesus. And you don't know what you're going through, but I come to tell you today, you might be stuck today. You may feel as though life is a puzzle. And you're trying to fit every piece of the puzzle where it does not fit. You may think that you have reached a breaking point in your life. However, I come with some good news. I come to tell you that you have a partner that can make up the shortage. Yeah, over 2,000 years ago, he came down 42 generations. Yeah, he came down to save you and I. And I wonder, is there anybody that's excited about Jesus? That you got a partner with you that can be able to make up the shortage. And if I could use my sanctified imagination, I can see him asking Jesus, why are you calling me out? Jesus said, come here. I need you to come in the midst, because they don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. Jesus said, I cannot give you what you need until you show me what you have. Sometimes we need to turn our problem over to the Lord. You ask, preacher, what problem? This and that. You turn over this and that. You turn your problem over to God. Because I come to tell you, he can handle it. That's a fact. I come to tell you, you got to put it all in the hands of Jesus. Come to tell you today, a basketball in my hand will only let you win one game. But put a basketball in Steve Curry's hand. He can help you win a championship. Put a football in my hand. It will probably only go 5 yards. But put a football in Tom Brady's hands. He can help you go to the Super Bowl. Put a nail in my hand. I might give you a piece of my mind. But put a nail in Jesus' hand. He said, I come to die and put your sins on an old rugged cross. Is there anybody here excited about Jesus who died for you, who hung, bled, and died for you on that old rugged cross? But the reason why we're going through what we go through, Jesus says here, I'm trying to get the glory out of your story. God says, I got some more work for you to do. And sometimes all we have to do is come. We don't need no one to pump or prime us to give God praise. Yeah. But while he's coming, watch it. He had to change his seat. And sometimes, my brothers and my sisters, you're going to have to change your perspective in order for you to win with a bad hand. Also, he had to come out of the crowd. Yeah, sometimes you got to get out of your comfort zone. Yeah, do not fear the crowd. Do not be fearful. Sometimes you're going to have to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Not only must we be at the right place, not only must we be with the right person, but also we must have the right posture. Jesus asked him to stretch forth his hand. It's one thing for him to stretch forth his hand to walk in the midst. But it's another thing for him to stretch forth his hand with his hand being all jacked up. But stretch in his text means something soft to the max. You cannot break it, even though it might be at a breaking point. Jesus is saying that I am trying to stretch your faith. God said, I made you, and I did not make you to break. So that's why, my brothers and my sisters, you cannot give in. You cannot throw in the towel. You cannot wave the white flag of surrender. Watch it now in the text. The man came out with uplifted hands. It was an act of total surrenderance. What he was saying was, Lord, I am available to you. Lord, use me in your service. This man in the text lost his authority, was gone, but God had restored him back to his former condition. And what Jesus is saying on this morning, that I can restore you. I'm trying to bring you back to a place to give me glory and honor. I serve a God that says now it unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do I have me a witness here? And I wonder today, is there anybody in here that is excited that God is about to do a new thing in your life? Is there anybody in here that knows that if you put your hand in the hand of the Lord, He will see you through. Do I have any witness here? I just stopped by here to bring you some good news, to let you know that trouble don't last always. I stopped by here this morning to tell Macedonia, if you hang on in there, if you hold out, God is getting ready to move. Do I have me a witness here? I realize that when I'm going through my trials and when I'm going through my tribulations, that God can restore you back and bring you to a place where you can give him glory and you can give him honor. Is there anybody in here that's excited about it? Anybody in here that's thank God that he's about to restore the days you thought that was gone? Somebody say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Yes. He can restore you and he can bring you back to where you first was. Do I have me a witness here? The young man stretched forth his hand. Yes, sir. And even though it was elastic, God said, listen here, if you stretch forth your hand, I'm going to restore it as the other. Is there anybody in here that's been struggling long enough? God said, I'm about to restore you and bring you to a place that give me glory and honor. Somebody say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. I'm going in my seat, but when I tell you that it was one Friday they took Jesus on a cross. It was one Friday they put a nail in his hands. It was one Friday they pierced him in the side. It was one Friday blood starts streaming down Calvary's heel. Do I have me a witness here? He stretched out his hand just like the man with the withered hand. One hand towards Alpha and the other towards Omega. One hand towards the beginning and the other towards the end. He died. Is there anybody in here that's excited that he died? But somebody say, right early one Sunday morning, he got up. I said he got up. He got up with all power. I said he got up with all power in his hands. And because he lives, I can win with my bad hand. Because he lives, I can win with my bad hand. Somebody say yes. Say yes. Yes. You can win. Yes. You can win. Yes. You can win. Somebody say yes. That's why I can win. No matter what comes my way, I can win over depression. I can win over anxiety. I can win. Is there anybody in here that's excited you can win? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.